Welcome to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, and today Colchonero Chat is back to discuss Atletico starting 2017 the right way. A new right back, a new right midfielder, and a 2-0 win at Las Palmas in the Copa del Rey round of 16 on Tuesday. Ewan McTeer joins me to analyze that win, as well as preview Atleti's trip to Eibar on Saturday. Plus, transfer speculation and more. Let's go.
How was your holiday? Your New Year's? Everything good?
Yeah, it was quite peaceful. Just quiet. Went home for a bit to Glasgow. So it was nice. Oh. Nice and cold.
Yeah. I was in Michigan a few weeks ago. Talking about cold. We had a foot of snow the last day I was there.
I can imagine. And you're in Arizona, aren't you? So that must be quite a change.
Yeah, the snow is something we don't really get here. So we get a little bit up north, but where I'm at, we don't get snow at all. It rarely gets below about 50 degrees Fahrenheit where I am. So
yeah,
it was a change to be dressing that warmly and seeing all this snow and stepping in this snow.
No. Yeah, of course.
Quite a change. So, talk about Las Palmas win on Tuesday. We'll talk about the Eibar game. I figured who would know more about Eibar than you. So we'll talk about that and also the transfer rumors that continue to encircle the club. Yeah, and I have a question. This will sort of kick off our discussion on the transfer speculation. Antoine Griezmann gave an interview in AS earlier this week, and he was again asked the question, what is your future going to hold? Where are you going to be playing next year? And he finally showed some exasperation with that question, saying, I'm very happy.
Yeah, he seemed quite annoyed by it. Yeah.
He did, and he hadn't really shown that before. He said, look, I'm very happy at Atletico. Stop asking me this question. Cristiano and Messi don't get asked this question. Why do I? Do you think the question itself is disrespectful? And then, is it more disrespectful to Griezmann or the club? Because Atleti have become a big club. There can't be any denying that. And I think certainly in the English press, there is still this perception of Atleti as a selling club.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, with Griezmann, he's obviously came third even in the Ballon d'Or podium. So, He's up there. He's considered in the top three in the world. But I think the fact that he's always linked to moving away suggests that people don't think Atleti is in the top three in the world. When there's a fair argument to be made for that, when they've been in two Champions League finals the last 3 years. So, I mean, yeah, it's still looked at as a stepping stone sort of club. But I mean, where else do you go that's bigger than Atleti? I mean, if he goes to Real Madrid or Barcelona, which is unlikely, then yeah, okay, you can obviously argue they're bigger. A move to the Premier League maybe, but is Manchester United really bigger than Atletico Madrid right now? I mean, it's still maybe more renowned worldwide, but there's no guarantee of Champions League football, whereas with Atleti you're almost guaranteed at least maybe a semi-final place.
Correct, and the Premier League has more money and it's more of a sexy attraction than La Liga, with a smaller TV deal, etc. But it's hard to find a place better than Atleti right now, right? This is a team that's averaged a trophy a year since Simeone returned as boss, and Griezmann is the star here, and he's always said he's happy to be here. So it's puzzling to me why these rumors, especially for Griezmann, keep coming up.
Yeah, I think so, and I mean, yeah, you could say that the Premier League is a more sexy league in a way, but I mean, in terms of would you rather live in Madrid or Manchester or wherever, I mean, Griezmann's quite happy there. He speaks the language. He's been there since he was 13, 14. He's really comfortable in the Spanish culture. He's even closer to France. I mean, like, there's really, in terms of a lifestyle point of view, there's no real reason for him to leave Atletico, and it's going to get even sexier when they move to this shiny new fantastic stadium. So I mean, he can be the sort of star of this what looks like it's going to be one of the most modern and coolest stadiums in Europe. So there's it's never really made that much sense to me that he would move anywhere that isn't Barcelona, Real Madrid, or maybe a Manchester United or an Arsenal if they suddenly become one of the regular Champions League semi-finalists.
Yeah, and PSG have also been linked with him in the past. But PSG, to me, they have the money, but they don't necessarily have the stature yet, even though they're in Paris. This is the side that's never made a semifinal. Bayern Munich is one that's been linked on and off in the past, but Bayern don't usually spend that much money. So for now, I think it's pretty clear that Griezmann is going to stay. And the new stadium is such an attraction for... And Simeone wants to stay because of the new stadium, and lots of players want to stay because of Simeone. So it all kind of, the dominoes kind of each fall into each other there. In terms of the other rumors that have sort of come about, Saul has been linked with an exit to United. Saul is the big one. I mean, I don't think that's very likely either. One that we came across on the site that maybe has something to it is Lucas going to Manchester City, because City were in for both the Hernandez brothers last summer, and Kilmarin has said that City can afford to pay Lucas's buyout. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that one really makes a lot of sense from Manchester City's point of view, because I mean he's certainly affordable for them, and he seems like the kind of player that Guardiola would love to have. You know, he's very flexible in terms of where he can play in defence, he can play in the centre, he can play on the left, and with Guardiola loving to shift his formation about, I mean, Lucas Hernandez is the kind of perfect all-round Swiss Army knife kind of player that he'd be able to do something with. The question is, does Lucas Hernandez want to leave? I mean, it's not for certain that he would get more playing time at Manchester City than he's getting just now at Atletico, and I know part of his recent run in the team has been because of Luis's injury, but Simeone is clearly trusting him when there's an opportunity, and this time next year he could be, you know, one of the key first names on the team sheet. So I think if he bides his time at least until the summer, sees what his options are, then you know, Atletico Madrid is arguably a more attractive long-term option than Manchester City.
Yeah, with what this club is building, with this focus on younger players, and Lucas comes from the academy. He's been there since he was a kid. He's just 20 years old. How would you rate his chances of leaving? I don't think they're particularly high. Because I really can't
see him leave at this point, like in the January window. You never know what could happen in the summer. But yeah, I think he seems quite settled there. He's had a run in the team in November and December, so yeah, I'd be really shocked if he leaves before the end of this window, and I'd still be quite shocked if he leaves in the summer.
Yeah, he just renewed last summer to ward off this interest from City, and Teo renewed as well to ward off Barcelona's interest. So, and they could both be in the team next year. It'll be pretty exciting to see them together.
Yeah.
Right, so... that ends our talk on transfer speculations. Thank goodness. And let's talk about Las Palmas. Trip to Gran Canaria on Tuesday resulted in a 2-0 win for Los Colchoneros, all but in to the Copa del Rey quarterfinals for the fifth consecutive year. Ever since that shock defeat by Albacete in 2011, Atleti have not missed a beat since, on track to make another quarterfinal appearance. This, I think, arguably Atleti's best performance in maybe 6 to 8 weeks. They looked very, very good indeed in this game, Ewan.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good start to the year, a good performance, which, I mean, as difficult as the start of the season has been for Atletico, they have put in some really encouraging performances. The problem has been that they tend to be followed by a maybe not so good one. But yeah, they played well. I suppose we should keep in mind that it was a slightly weakened Las Palmas team, whereas the Atletico one was arguably the strongest 11. Carrasco was out, he had a slight knock, but yeah, I mean, I think this was Simeone's best 11 that he could have picked, which shows you that he's taken the cup seriously. He was asked afterwards about his lineup and if that meant that they were going all in for the cup, and he said that they take every match seriously, but then there have been a few in the latter stages of the Champions League and in the last round of the Cup where he rested some players. So yeah, this was a really strong 11, and I think, you know, that is something that's worth talking about. Atletico really do seem like they're going all in for the cup, and it makes sense because the league is, well, the league is basically lost, so.
It's a very Simeone answer that we take every game seriously.
Yeah.
yeah, and you talk about potentially Atleti's strongest team. This team included Jimmy Versalico at right back and Juan Fran at right midfielder. We've both written columns on this in the last week or so about Juan Fran being at his old position at right midfielder. I think it is pragmatic, but it also adds something to the team. It's pragmatic without being too defensive. Because Juan Fran is an underrated passer. I think sometimes we overlook that because he's so good at the back and cleans up so well on the right side. But I'm just not sure Juan Fran is capable of doing that for 90 minutes on end anymore. He's played 4,000 minutes each of the last three seasons. So this may suit him better, surprisingly.
Yeah, I love this combination, and I think it really adds something to the right-hand side on attack and on defence, because when they're attacking, they have this sort of two-pronged attack where Versalico, I mean, his cross and some of the crosses he's put through the air have been superb this season.
Yeah.
And Juan Fran's cross has always been decent, but yeah, his real talent has been the link-up play with the likes of Koke and Griezmann on the floor. So you have now a player that can put the ball on Griezmann's head, and you've also got one that can pass it into his feet. And they both can move up the field and put balls into the box, into danger areas, but then they're also both capable of dropping back and defending. And I think that really solidifies that side of the field, because with Koke, if he's still going to be playing in the sort of defensive midfield role, that in some of the games in the start of the season, that had sort of dragged Gabby a little bit more to the left. But if you have two right backs / right wingers on the right hand side, then Gabby can afford to move a little bit more to the left and trust Juan Fran to hold that right hand side of midfield up. So I love this combination. It's a good point you make about whether he has the fitness to last the full season, but I suppose in some of the easier games, maybe Simeone can rest Juan Fran and play maybe Correa on the right hand side or Carrasco if he can convince him to do that. And just play Versalico at right back and allow Juan Fran to get ready for the really important ones, where I think this is a really useful weapon.
Yeah, this Juan Fran at right winger allows Atleti to do a few things. It lets Juan Fran not really run as much as he has been. He covered so much ground. It lets Versalico do a lot more of that running, and lets Versalico stay in the team. Lets Correa stay on the bench in the super sub role I think he thrives in. And it kind of recreates the range of passing and chance creation that Nico Gaitán offers. I mean, we haven't seen it consistently with Gaitán for a couple reasons, but I think it makes a lot of sense. And I certainly hadn't really thought about it as a possibility. I hadn't thought of Jose Jimenez in defensive midfield as a possibility either, which we'll talk about. Yeah. But so far, it's working. This was the first real serious test of it. A Copa del Rey last 16 game against a good team in Las Palmas. A little weakened, but still a good team. Had not lost at home since last month. So that was pretty impressive. Atleti came in and ended that unbeaten run at Gran Canaria.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Las Palmas is a difficult place to go, not just with the travelling, but they have a really lively fan base and yeah, it's a good team, a really good team, especially with, I mean, once again, they dominated possession in that game, as they did in the league a few weeks ago, but for Atletico, that's almost what they love, is when another team has the ball and they can steal it high up the park and break, and yeah, with the attacking talent they have in their squad this season, sometimes they haven't been allowed to do that, especially at home. Because the fans want to see them, you know, take the initiative. But yeah, they played Las Palmas perfectly in that cup game.
Yeah, that was actually going to be the next point I wanted to raise. Is we can agree Las Palmas play a really nice style of football, very free flowing, lots of possession. When they get going, they're very fun to watch. But it's almost the worst style to play against Atletico, right? Because Atleti have always been under Simeone, been set up to defend this, stay compact, and keep the ball from getting into dangerous areas. And that's why Las Palmas have not scored against Atletico since they won promotion again. I think the style of play does not suit them against a team like Atletico.
Yeah, exactly. You saw that in this game and the league one. I mean, they hardly got a shot on goal. I remember in the league one, it took a shot from about 35 yards from the centre-back for Las Palmas to have their first shot on goal, because they had all the ball, but they just couldn't get through the well-organised Atletico defence. So, it was surprising maybe that they played almost the exact same sort of style that they had against Atletico at the Calderon, because although they only lost that game 1-0, it could have been 2-3, even 4 Atletico goals in that game. So you thought Las Palmas might shake it up a little bit, but then they had a lot of backups coming into the team, so maybe they didn't want to change things up too much and just hope for the best.
Yeah, and Quique Setién kind of conceded later on after Griezmann scored, taking out a couple of key guys, Jonathan Vieira, one of them. So the second leg, we're probably going to see several players rested for both sides. But before we get into that, the goals from this game, both on the counterattack for Atleti, and Koke involved in both of them. Koke scored the first one after it looked like this counterattack wasn't going anywhere. It really looked like Atleti were going to cock it up royally, but they didn't. A blocked pass, a blocked shot, finally lands at Koke's feet about 20 yards out, and he just hits a laser into the net. I thought Kevin Gamero got a touch on it, but he didn't on replay. Just a great goal from Koke to get things started.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what he can do is when a move seems like it's broken down, he can just conjure something up from outside the box, which is and you saw the same in the last Las Palmas game with Saúl. I mean, as much as Las Palmas were struggling to get through Atletico's backline in the first two Las Palmas, in the first Las Palmas game and the start of this one, Atletico struggled to get real good sights of goal as well. But two really good, well taken goals from outside the box, got them up on the score sheet, and then the second half they were able to break once it sort of enticed Las Palmas out a little bit more. So
yeah, the second goal, a long ball around the halfway line that Koke played right onto Shime Versalico's foot, and Versalico hit this excellent cross to the back post that hit Kevin Gamero, hit him right there, and then Gamero headed it to Griezmann, who you remember when Antoine Griezmann would score goals. He scored one in this game. Great diving header with the net gaping, and he scored. So he didn't even do a celebration. He was so excited about scoring.
Yeah, exactly. it was a lovely goal all around. I mean, it was a sort of Harlem Globetrotters-esque kind of, fling the ball up to one corner, fling it to the other, and then a sort of alley-oop kind of thing for the finish. It was a really nice goal. And again, you saw Bersalic's goal, just how good he can cross the ball through the air. It was really good work from Gamero to reach that and to set Griezmann up. And Gamero, I thought, was quite interesting this game. I mean, he was really, really lively. He missed a couple of decent chances, but I think he really put himself about and... He did a lot of the hard work that obviously set up the second goal and really put Atletico on the front foot.
Yeah, the cross was just perfect, and Gamero read it perfectly to head to nod it on to Griezmann, who then put it away. That's the thing with Gamero, is he's worked hard. He has characteristics that really fit the team. He's received criticism for not finishing some easy chances. He missed another one right before he left this game. But he's not scoring a ton of goals, but then it's been a fine fit, I think. And in this game, he really worked hard and got involved on the second goal. And hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Gamero doesn't need to score every game. He needs to be productive, though, and help create some of these goals, help create and build up play a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You can't ask for any more than that. And he's been doing that. The goals will come. He has scored a few important ones, but... as long as he's working hard and allowing the likes of Griezmann or Koke or Carrasco to score, then it's a job done.
Yeah, Las Palmas really didn't challenge much after that, and things got a little testy on the pitch and in the among the supporters. But I don't think he got out of there with a 2-0. We've talked about Juan Fran now being at right wing, and that's only one of the experimental kind of changes Simeone has made, starting against Kihuelo, moving on to the friendly in Saudi Arabia last week. Jose Jimenez in defensive midfield. What do you think of this? I so far it's worked really well. I did not think it would work well, but so far so good, Ewan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be the perfect fit for him. I wrote a column a few months ago about how he's like Atletico's Tasmanian devil. He just yes. He just puts himself about and just gets everywhere, just gets in everyone's face and can often win the ball. And one of the problems I was saying associated with that is that sometimes he can be drawn out of position and he can sort of leave a gap and then Atletico suffer from that. But I suppose if you put him just in front of the defensive line, he can do all the good that his energy can bring for Atletico. But if he does make a mistake, at least you've got Godin and Savage, you would imagine, behind him to cover up if he does get pulled out of position a little bit. So it makes a lot of sense, really. Whether or not he's got the fine tuning to really do that role in the way that the likes of Gabby and Thiago have done so well, is it could take some time because he's never really played there. But yeah, I think if he can be molded into a defensive midfielder, he could be a really good one.
Yeah, the hope is that this is the Augusto replacement that Simeone needs so badly. In terms of Jose Ma's energy, I think it's a perfect match. Because Augusto had so much energy, so much charisma, breaking up play in the middle of the park. And Jose Ma certainly has the energy. He's never been lacking that. It's the consistency. It's the ability to avoid making major errors and major blunders. So far, he's avoided that. And maybe the solution actually comes from within the team for once. I'd like you don't have to go out and buy someone. If in a transfer in this situation with a transfer ban, that's how you have to do it. You have to make your team more versatile, offer yourself more options with the personnel you have. And Simeone trying to convert Jose Ma into this kind of Augusto role, I think it's pretty smart. And so far it's worked. So let's hope it keeps working.
Yeah, and you don't always need to go out and buy someone. I mean, you look across the city at Real Madrid, and this time last season, they desperately needed someone to play in defensive midfield. And yeah, Casemiro is naturally a defensive midfielder, but there was talk of him going out and buying someone, and instead they turned to the guy that was on the bench. And you know, you look how well it worked for them. I mean, you can go out and buy a ready-made defensive midfielder, but it doesn't mean he's going to fit Diego Simeone's system. Whereas, okay, Jimenez might not be a defensive midfielder per se, but Diego Simeone knows exactly how to use him, and that might balance out to Atletico's favour.
Yeah, and we'll see if it makes a return in upcoming league fixtures starting this weekend against Eibar. Anything else from this game, Ewan?
No, I think it was a pretty routine, old-style Atletico win. And yeah, now we just have to see if they can put a few of those in a row, which, like I was saying, they've had some good wins this season, but they've just not been able to string a few of them together. So we'll see if they do that against Eibar, the complete opposite end of the country.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a long trip from Saudi Arabia to Las Palmas to the Basque Country this weekend. So a comfortable, at times easy win for Atleti against Las Palmas, and 90 minutes from another Copa del Rey quarterfinals appearance. After this, we'll talk about this weekend's game against Eibar. La Liga returns this weekend after what feels like an interminable break, but Atleti will travel to the Basque Country to take on Eibar. 8th place, and Ewan, I figured there is no better person to talk to about this team than you, as someone who literally wrote the book on them.
Yeah, I might know a little bit about Eibar.
you might know a thing or two about Eibar. But yeah, this is such an interesting side, and they have a great story. Won promotion for the first time in 2014. Should have been relegated in 2015. They got a stay of execution, though, as Elche's tax problems resulted in forced relegation. And since then, they have taken that second chance, and they have run with it. Right now, they're 8th with six wins, 5 draws, 5 defeats. 23 points, just 5 points behind Atletico in 6th place. So quite the story. And they're a more fun team now, aren't they? They play better football now. under Mendilibar.
Yeah, they do. They really, they're quite exciting. They'd always played a little bit on the counter attack, but this season they've really worked out how to keep possession as well, and they have, you know, some of the best wing play in the whole league, I would say. They've got Pedro Leon, former Real Madrid man, on the right, and they've got Takashi Inoue, energetic guy on the left, and yeah, they really they can break so quickly, and it helps, I think, that the pitch up there is quite small, but it seems like it just takes a few seconds and they can have the ball in defence and they're attacking up the other end. So yeah, they're quite fun to watch, and yeah, maybe about as opposite aside from Las Palmas as you could find, because they're very direct with the ball as well. I mean, they've learned a little bit how to keep possession, but most of Eibar's moves tend to be 5 or 6 passes and that's it.
Yeah, and Pedro Leon was the first guy I wanted to talk about. He's been a critical signing. Came on over the summer. He's playing on the right hand side. He scored 5 goals in league play. Leads the team. He's been critical. What has he offered that they didn't have before?
I think he's just a technically fantastic player. I mean, it hasn't really worked out with him everywhere where he's been, but he's you can tell he's a natural footballer, and he can just put the ball where he wants to put it, and from set pieces he's been really good as well. Some of his free kicks have looked dangerous, whether going for goal or crossing into the box. Yeah, he's just that little bit extra quality that Eibar were maybe lacking with. They had some, you know, plenty of players that were willing to sweat and work, but yeah, Pedro Leon is that little bit of quality and player that they didn't have last year.
And you mentioned how strong they are going down the wing, and how much they cross the ball and create opportunities from the wings. What else can they do for some of our listeners who don't know? What else can they do that will trouble Atletico? And how different are they from certainly different from 2 years ago, but from the year before? Eibar have not beaten Atletico since winning promotion. They've scored just 2 goals. How could this year be different?
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot more solid as well in defence. They signed one of the guys from Girona last season, Florian Lejeune.
Lejeune, yeah, he's very good.
Girona has, he had this. He was playing for Girona last season in the Segunda division, and they had the best defence in that whole league, one of the best of all time. They were conceding something like 1 goal every 2 games, and he was the heart of that defence, and it was a really, really good signing for Eibar last summer to be able to pick him up, and yeah, he's been as good as he was expected to be. So they're very solid in at the back, and yeah, I mean, it could be quite tricky for Atletico to break them down. They've had success there in the past, but yeah, they've got that little bit extra quality in defence, just like they have in attack with Pedro Leon.
Yeah, the previous results here, 3-1 and 2-0 at Eibar. But yeah, it's a fun team. It's a more solid team. Mendilibar, I think, has done a wonderful job. Think he's been great for them. Certainly, such a far cry from the Garitano days, when this team would just hang on for dear life and get outshot by like 10-15 shots every single game. Can you kind of, I guess, distill Mendilibar's impact into, you know, what are the best things he's done for this team this year? In your estimate?
Yeah, I mean, Mendilibar has sort of changed the mentality a bit from being a team that just, you know, wants to sit back and defend and hope for the best, into one that wants to go out and win matches. You know, when Eibar rarely these days play for a draw. You saw a few weeks ago they were playing at home against Villarreal, and it was all level in the last few minutes. And I think most Eibar fans were thinking, okay, great, we've got a point against Villarreal. This is brilliant. But they went for the win and they got it. They've tried to do that against Osasuna as well. They tried to go and get the win and it backfired. And I think they're the only team to have lost to Osasuna. So they're a bit more risky. And they probably won't just settle for a draw. It might be a bit different against Atletico, because when they drew with Real Madrid at the Bernabeu in the last few minutes, the last sort of maybe 10, 15 minutes of that game, they did, you know, drop back into a more defensive position. So it's not all completely just go for it, because there's a little bit of, sensibility there to know that when you're playing a good team, you have to defend a little bit. But yeah, so I think they'll go for Atletico, they'll try to win, and they could be tricky, especially when, I mean, Atletico have beaten Eibar every game they've played since Eibar won promotion, but it's not been easy at all. I remember the first game when Eibar got promoted and they scored a lovely goal to bring it back to 2-1.
Yep.
After Atletico had scored two early goals, and they nearly got a draw in that game. They nearly brought it back. And then the 3-1 that season was maybe the rainiest game you could imagine. I mean, the pit, there was hardly any pitch left. They had to get a new pitch after that game because there was such a downpour. Hmm. And at that point, Eibar were very gritty, like to defend, like the rain team. That was one of their advantages when it was rainy. But if there was one team that could play just as well in the sort of rainy and conditions, it was probably Atletico. So that maybe benefited Atletico that day. So,
and last season, the 2-0 at Eibar was goalless on the hour before Simeone made a couple substitutions, and I think Angel Correa and Fernando Torres scored in that game, and two.
Yeah, they were quite late goals. Yeah, the first one, yeah, on the hour, and then Eibar were very much still in the game, and then I think with about 10, 15 minutes to go, yeah, Torres popped up with the second one and killed it. But yeah, it certainly wasn't easy in that one either.
From an Atletico perspective, what are the best ways to counter these threats on the wing? Versalico and Felipe are likely going to start with Juan Fran in front of Versalico. I think it's going to be a great chance for the right side to show just how solid it is.
Yeah, I think with that kind of double team on the right, they'll be able to have some success. It's on the left that's maybe a bit more tricky, because Pedro Leon tends to play on the right hand side. So for Sarchko and Juanfran, that double team, they won't be the ones tasked with stopping Leon. So that could be a little bit more difficult for Atletico.
Yeah, Felipe will have his hands full with, again, Ibra's leading goal scorer on 5 goals this season, and who's been very, very good for them indeed. Is this the league game where Antoine Griezmann breaks
the league game where Antoine Griezmann?
Because, again, Tuesday was the first time he scored in a Spanish competition since October. So is this when he breaks his league goal drought?
Yeah, I mean, the big games that Ibra played since he got promoted against the likes of, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico, it's been the stars that have scored goals. I think Messi's got about 3 or 4 since he's been up there. Ronaldo has about 4 as well. So yeah, Griezmann is, you know, the Eibar fans often get to see one of the stars of La Liga destroy their team, which some of them aren't actually that disappointed about, because they don't often get to see that. So yeah. It would fit with the storyline if Griezmann is the man that turns up and leads his side to the win on this tiny little ground.
And a word of warning, Griezmann is very good after getting some time off, after getting a week or two off. He's dangerous. Routinely when he comes back off holidays or international breaks, he scores the very next game. So you'd be kind of wise to put some money on him on Saturday.
Yeah. And although the goal he scored in Las Palmas, although it was maybe the simplest finish, he looked really, really good all through that game. He looked lively, and yeah, he's obviously determined to. I mean, the narrative about Griezmann not scoring in the league is slightly unjustified, given that he has been scoring in the Cup and Champions League at that time. So it's not like he hasn't scored a single goal in months. But yeah, I'm sure he's heard some of that, and he'll want to shut the critics up and get a La Liga goal.
He's also got another new hairstyle going.
Yeah,
like the Diego Forlán kind of hairstyle.
Yeah. Well, it's better than some of his previous ones, so I'll let him live with that one.
Yeah. Some of the other hair decisions he's made have not been too great. This one is like, I'd say it's like a solid 7 out of 10, though. It's got some class to it.
Oh yeah, he's, He's got a good some good curls going there as well. Yeah, he's got some curls.
He's letting it kind of ride. It's getting all wavy. I'd say it's a 7. It's like a nice vintage look, and he's got the hairband going now. I like where he's going with this. The platinum blonde, not so much.
Although this game will be played half a week after the Las Palmas one, so it might be different by then.
It could be. Hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully he keeps this one as it will bring forth further goals from him. Maybe that was just the key all along. He needed to grow his hair out.
Exactly.
Would you care to offer a scoreline prediction for this one?
I do think Ibor will score in this game. I mean, they've scored, I think, in three of the four ones against Atletico since they got promoted, and they are even more attacking this year. So I think Atletico will score, but I think Ibor will score, Atletico, you know, they should have enough to win this. Maybe 2-1, maybe 3-1. It shouldn't be easy, but. I can see them defeating Ibar. They probably have a bit too much quality, and they've done well against them in the past. Even though it's never been simple, they've got the job done, and I think it'll be similar again. Ibar will give them a bit of problems, but they'll probably come back with the 3 points.
Right, Ipurua is a tough place to play because it's such a small ground, it's a pitch that Ibar are used to playing on that other teams aren't. So it'll be challenging. Atleti's two trips there, although the one in 2015, Atleti went up by multiple goals very quickly. And then last season's game was a bit more challenging. I think this will be more like last season's game. I'm thinking 2-1.
It will be interesting, though, because this should be the first game with Ibar. They've just relayed the pitch. This will be the first game on that new pitch. So as much as they're comfortable there, they might not be quite as comfortable with the turf as a normal home side would be. So that could be interesting to see just how quickly Ibar adapt to the new turf as much as Atletico.
Yeah. The other big team question for Atleti in this one is if Yannick Carrasco is going to be healthy. He was training alone in the gym today, trying to get him fit for Saturday. So. We'll see if it looks like it's going to come down to the wire if Carrasco makes the team for Saturday. Hopefully he does. So maybe he will be the key.
Yeah, he has been so often. So that'd be a big boost if he can recover in time. But yeah, we saw against Las Palmas that they have they've got enough to get the job done even if he's not around. So.
Yeah, indeed. Well, that will just about wrap it up for us on this edition of Colchonero Chat, our first edition of 2017. Happy New Year to everyone. Did not say that at the beginning of the program, so I'm saying it now. I hope everyone had a great holiday and enjoying the start to 2017. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow the blog at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook as well. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Acast now. As we continue to grow this thing out over all the platforms you can think of, we're slowly rolling this thing out. So feel free to find us iTunes, Stitcher, Acast. Subscribe, listen to all new and archived episodes. Leave a rating, leave a review. Really helps us out here at the program. Ewan, anything you want to plug before you go?
If you're a very quick reader and want to read the whole story of Ibar before the game this weekend, then you can obviously have a look for the Ibar the Brave book. If you're a bit of a slower reader, then you can read all about the team afterwards, I'm sure. So, but yeah, that's pretty good.
Pick up Ibar the Brave. It's available at your favorite book retailer. Follow Ewan on Twitter at emctier. And I want to thank him for coming on today. Thanks so much for stopping by the program. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we will be back post Ibar game. Probably on Monday to talk about it and a whole lot more as ever on Colchonero Chat. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next time. Adios.